providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Cortland Economics Report.
All right, welcome back here to wrap up the weekend edition of the KE Report. I am continuing to get some insights on companies from some of the analysts and newsletter writers that I respect. I had Giant on last segment. This segment, I'm bringing on Brian Lenny. He is the founder and editor of the Junior Stock Review, also writes the premium newsletter. Now, Brian, recently, just about a week or two ago, you introduced or recommended another company to your subscriber base. This company is CanStar Resources, traded on the TSX Venture Exchange under the symbol ROX and on the OTCQB under the symbol CSRNF. Now, I have to ask you, broadly, what initially attracted you to CanStar Resources? Just to bring everyone up to speed, the company is focused in Newfoundland on the Golden Bay project that they hold an option to acquire 100% on. So, Brian, why CanStar? Why now for you?
For me, it's quite simple. It comes down to the people. I tend to invest with people that I make money with. And the group of people involved in this company are people that I've made money with over the last 4 or 5 years. And they seemingly never disappoint. Not that this one couldn't work out, but I tend to, you know, stick with people I know. And so that if you look at the roster of investors on this on CanStar, you'll see Altius Minerals has over a 10% position, Adventus Mining Corporation, over 20% themselves. And then the people involved, the company's led by CEO Robert Brueggemann, who is the chairman of Abra Silver. I have a history of investing with all these people and they've made me money. So that was first and foremost. Second to that, then you go to the project, and that's after I had agreed to participate in the private placement last year. Then I took a closer look at the project, and the project has all the hallmarks, I think, that you look for. It's got a big land position in a really hot part of Newfoundland. For those that know Newfoundland and heard of Newfound Gold, the Gander Block specifically, which is basically stretches from the south part of the island to the north part, and it is centrally located. And it's a hot part for exploration, and with good reason. The intercepts that Newfound Gold has hit are very good. And so the Golden Bay project's at the south end of that same trend. And geologically, I think it has all those hallmarks that you look for in a good project. So those are the two basic reasons why I did the initial investment.
Now, how did the whole deal come together with CanStar and this Golden Bay project? Because you are right, Newfoundland is a very attractive area right now. How did that deal all come together? Because I understand the CanStar really just acquired that option not that long ago.
Yeah, so the original deal, if you go back a little bit further, was with Adventus Mining. Adventus spun or optioned out a few of their zinc projects in Newfoundland to CanStar. And it was bad timing. It was right when the zinc price kind of, fell from its around, $1.40-ish price down to around a buck. And really, they never got any traction with those projects. And so the company sat almost like a shell. I don't even know if they had a formal management team up until basically the last, 6 months. And so what happened is the Altius Minerals is heavily involved in Adventus Mining. And obviously they've got big stakes and they want to see these companies be successful. And so when the Golden Bay project came up and they had, some people to lead the company, it was kind of a perfect storm. And so Robert took over as CEO and Golden Bay got brought in, optioned from Altius into the company. And, the rest, it's been going pretty quick. They started with an initial field program last fall. They identified two new target zones, which I think look really good. And even to take a step back further, the Golden Bay project was originally explored by Westfield Minerals back in the 80s. And there was a couple other owners in between, but Westfield did the most kind of systematic exploration. And if you look at Golden Bay, it's got, I think it's close to 90 kilometers of strike along this, I shouldn't say strike, along this deformation. And it's a 62,000 hectares, I believe, around there. So it's a large project with a lot of prospective ground. But Westfield really only concentrated on one little part of it. And, you know, and that's, they went back to that historical area when they identified these two new prospects. But the soils, the channel samples came back really good. And, you know, these initial targets, which that they'll be leading up to for its, you know, basically its maiden drill program, as Canstar, look really good.
Let's talk about that maiden drill program then. If they have two main target zones and it is, yeah, their first time on the project, what are you expecting or what are you hoping that they can generate from that initial drill program?
I think the potential is that they replicate what they got in their channels. Like a couple of the highlights was just over 6 grams per ton over 5 meters and another of 10 grams over 3 meters. I think one of the key points to remember, because they're not only in that same gander zone and, you know, following that same fault structure that Newfoundland has, but it's the same rocks too. It's the same metasedimentary rock assemblage. This is key. And, you know, what Robert did, I think, was really really smart. He brought in his VPX, Dawn Evans Lambswood, and she's a structural geo. She's got a ton of experience in Eastern Canada, but she was the lead author in Newfoundland's original 43-1 technical report when they went public. I guess it would be last year. So she knows this geology. She's familiar with it. She's got the background, and then she's teamed with a really good technical team. And I think this is really the strength of Canstar. Their technical team has Dr. Lori Curtis, Dr. Lawrence Winter from Altius, and Dr. David Palmer, who people will know as the CEO of Probe. You know, there's a lot of doctors there, and that's a lot of experience. You know, they both technical acumen and past success. And so I'm confident that, you know, if there is something there, these are the guys you want looking for it. And again, that's what makes me pretty comfortable, especially with Canstar at a $15 million market cap right now, that I think it's a really good risk to reward ratio.
So regarding some of those shareholders that you mentioned, Altius and Adventus, they are connected in some sense, as we know some of the management teams there. But did Adventus get their 20% position simply from spinning out the property, or did they actually partake in any of the financings?
I believe the majority of that is from the spinning or the optioning out of the properties. But I haven't looked. Like, they, I'm sure they participated in that. I know that members of Adventus participated in the placement. I don't know. I'm pretty sure, though, the corporation itself probably attained that 24% position just through the option. And, you know, Altius, the same thing, how they've optioned the Golden Bay project is how they acquired their shares.
Okay. Now, the company cashed up for this drill program. Do you have any insights on how big this drill program is going to be?
Not yet. They've got just over $2 million. They're going to go in and they're going to do some more localized field work at those prospects. And there's a couple, I forget what the names of them are, up to the, I think they're the northeast of the Blowout and Kendall prospect. Oh yeah, the 20 Point and Hart Hill. There's some other, like, more greenfield targets that I think they're going to do some work on beforehand. But it'll be Kendall and Blowout, I think, where they concentrate their drilling effort on. And they won't announce that until they finish that localized testing and they know exactly where they want to drop the drills down. And I think that's really smart to do it incremental and hopefully at a higher price. You know, this is not going to happen till the summer. And what I told my readers is, I don't think, you know, with no news leading up to this drill program or the localized exploration, you know, there's no big rush to take a full position in the company. But in saying that, you know, if Newfoundland and the rest of this area remains hot and the market does turn, I could definitely see this share price move just because of the potential in this area and, you know, more eyeballs looking at the story.
So how much of this story is simply the area play, also understanding that there's a lot of companies that rushed into Newfoundland broadly, and there are some decent management teams that are actually exploring there. So how much is a management play, and how much is the area play in your eyes?
For me, it's 100% management, regardless of where this is located in the world. I would be participating in the placement and I'd be supporting this company. Like I said, these guys I've made money with continually. And I trust them, and I know they have the technical background, you know, to push this thing forward. To me, the hot play or the Newfoundland play is just the gravy, the cream. And really what we've seen is, you know, like in these kind of circumstances, there is something to be said for that. You know, when more eyeballs are looking for stories in that, you know, that closeology, it's amazing what can happen. Now, I don't think you put any stock. I don't think you buy this company because of that, but you know, it's one of those things that for people that like myself that know the people, understand the potential in the geology, which I think is there, it's a great upside potential without even, you know, getting into you know, what the actual prospects are. So I like it.
Okay, hey, thanks for your insights there, Brian, and if anybody has any follow-up questions for Brian regarding this company and or just for the company directly, I will be reaching out to them to have them on the show. To wrap us up here, Brian, give us a little rundown of your strategy when it comes to investing in especially juniors and exploration metal stocks, because in all fairness, especially the precious metal stocks, they've been drifting lower. Everyone's debating whether this is a bottom that's being put in. Either way, there's been a lot of pressure on these stocks and a lot of attention that simply has just gone into other sectors. What is your strategy right now when it comes to either buying or selling different exploration plays?
I'd say first and foremost, you know, try not to guess where the market is headed. If you're buying the junior metals companies, be focused on them and what kind of catalysts and what they have going for them. You know, people get so wrapped up in trying to guess where the market's headed, you know, they either don't buy or they don't sell when they need to. And you can see it happens every single time. I think you just focus on the companies, let all the other noise happen around you, be focused on what these exploration companies have, you know, moving ahead. Concentrate on the best of the best, you know, go with the best people that have the best targets in the best jurisdictions. And I think in terms of exploration, I think you set yourself up for success. Now, the other side to that is you can check all the boxes in there and still lose money in exploration. And that's the other thing to realize, that if you're going to put money in exploration companies, you need to be or accept the fact that you're going to lose. If you have 10 positions, you're probably going to lose on six, maybe five or six of them. And the other ones, you probably hit one good one and the other ones will be kind of mixed results. So if you have that, if you're able to keep that in your head and disperse your money in a way where you can have multiple plays to make sure that you use the probability to your own advantage, I think you set yourself up really well. And the other side to that is, if you get into the exploration and developers, then at least with the developer, you have a little bit of downside risk protection, because these guys usually have an existing deposit or actual metal in the ground that has possibly some economic significance. And that's really where I think, you know, investors that want to protect their downside risk should be concentrating. So that's kind of the motto that I invest by, and it doesn't really change.
Okay. Hey, Brian, I really respect the way that you invest and what you write up in your newsletter. You are very selective on the companies you write up, and you do a lot of background research. So I appreciate you sharing that research with us. Everybody, thank you for taking time to listen to this weekend show. I hope you all enjoyed the four segments of this weekend show. And also, please take some time and go back through all the daily editorials I released this week. It was another very busy week with a lot of general commentary and a lot of company-specific commentary. And please keep those emails coming, fleck@kereport.com. I love hearing from all of you. Everybody, have a great rest of your weekend.
Thanks for having me, Corey.